His on the lotus feet.
He's on the lotus feet.
Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches Him with such motives. But He does not bestow benedictions upon devotees who will cause Him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at His own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. Do we repeat, please? The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches Him with such motives. But He does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause Him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at His own lotus feet. Even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. Purpose. The devotees mentioned in the previous verse approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with material motives. But this verse explains how such devotees are safe from those desires. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10 advises. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udarati tibena bhakti yogena jayate purusham param. Whether one is free from all material desires, is full of material desires, or desire to become one with the Supreme, he should engage in devotional service. In this way, not only will the devotee's desires be fulfilled, but the day will come when he will have no other desire than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. One who engages in service of the Lord with some motive is called Asakama Bhakta. And one who serves the Lord without any motive is called an Akama Bhakta. Krishna is so merciful that he turns Asakama Bhakta into an Akama Bhakta. A pure devotee, an Akama Bhakta, who has no material motives, is satisfied simply to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 6.22. Jam laktva chaparam davam manjate nadikam tata. If one engages in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not want anything more. This is the highest stage of devotional service. The Lord is so kind even to a Sakama Bhakta, a motivated devotee, that he satisfies his desires in such a way that one day he becomes an Akama Bhakta. Dhruva Maharaj, for example, became a Bhakta with the motive of getting a better kingdom than of his father. But finally he became an Agama Bhakta and said to the Lord, Swamin Kritaritos Nivaran Nayache. My dear Lord, I am very satisfied simply to serve your lotus feet. I do not want any material benefits. Sometimes it is found that a small child eats dirty things, but his parents take away the dirty things and offer him a sandesh or some other sweet meat. The bodies who aspire for material benedictions are compared to such children. The Lord is so kind that he takes away all their material desires and gives them the highest benediction. Therefore, even for material motives, one should not worship anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One must fully engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord so that all his desires will be fulfilled, and at the end he can go back home to Godhead. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita Maya 22:27-41 as follows. Ayakami, a devotee, my desire something other than service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Yadikare Krishna Vajana. But if he engaged in Lord Krishna's service, na mahiteva Krishna taridena swacharana. Krishna gives him shelter at his lotus feet, even though he does not aspire for it. Krishna kahe, Lord Krishna says, Amma Vaje, he is engaged in my service, Mare Visaya Sukha, but he wants the benefit of material sense gratification. Amrita Chadi Visaya Mare. Such a devotee is like a person who asks for poison instead of nectar. A Vada Murka. Oh. That is his foreigners. Amivigya. But I am experienced. A murke visaya. Kene diva. Why should I give such a foolish person the dirty things of material enjoyment? Swacharanamrita. It would be better for me to give him shelter at my lotus feet. Visaya Bulaiva. I shall cause him to forget all material desires. Kama Lagi Krishna Vaji. If one engaged in the service of the Lord for sense gratification, Paya Krishna Lasi, the result is that he ultimately gets a taste for serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Kama Chadi Dasa, Haite Haya Avilase. He then give up all material desires and wants to become an eternal servant of the Lord. Anayana Chaviratasya Yana Yana Sulaha Kajan Chakshuru Nidanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vatsalam Vangum Vyangajate Girim Jakripata Maham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachaharine Nirvisesa sunyavadi paschatya deshadharinam vantakalva tarvyascha kripashindu gahevaca patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namah. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Translation again. The Supreme Personality of Godhead fulfills the material desires of a devotee who approaches him with such motives, but he does not bestow benedictions upon the devotee that will cause him to demand more benedictions again. However, the Lord willingly gives the devotee shelter at his own lotus feet, even though such a person does not aspire for it, and that shelter satisfies all his desires. That is the Supreme Personality's special mercy. But this is very important and special part of Bhagavatam, and is this point of Bhagavatam emphasizing the caring, loving protection that Krishna is providing to us, his nature, his preference. Priya Mata, would you mind to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita Maya Lila? I think it's volume 8, where it's chapter 22. Yeah?
Sorry.
When I was trying to prepare for this class, I was reading this, especially this part of the in the purpose Prabhupada is quoting this verse, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya is explaining about the glories of devotional service. And he's describing the different natures, the different types of devotees, and why, for example, we have many desires. And I personally like one text that is previous to what Prabhupada is quoting here, that exemplifies the mood of the Lord. It's describing clearly the mood of the Lord. And it's also giving us hope for what we should do, because the main point of this purpose that Prabhupada is explaining is that everyone who has different types of desires or no desires can approach or should approach to the Lord, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the signs of intelligence. We heard this instruction in different parts of the Vedas, so the Shastras, and Bhagavad Gita, for example. And Krishna himself is explaining that there are four types of people who approach to him. Those describing according to the nature of their desires. Those who are afflicted, who else is approaching to the Lord? Who will remember? Do you remember Premata, who is? Who is approaching to the Lord?
Inquisitive.
Wise.
Distressed and poor.
Distressed is the same, no? Yeah, so, but basically it's a different type of people are approaching to the Lord based on their desire, the nature of their desires. Because as we know that part of our natural propensities, to have desires. And Prabhupada nicely explained that we cannot stop having desires. It's part of our natural tendency. Even though there are many other philosophies that are propagating that, so the main point is stop desiring, so like Buddhism or other groups that work, basically the idea is stop our desires. But in our process, in our sankhya, the emphasis is not in stopping our natural tendency of desires, but it's just dovetailing or channeling those desires in a proper direction, because it's part of our natural natural identity, that those desires. So in that way, for example, Bhagavatam in the second canto, so Sukadeva Goswami is explaining to Parikshit Maharaj, according to the different desires, what we should do, whoever is looking for the fulfillment of their desires, they can approach to different demigods for different specific desires. But Sukadeva Goswami said this text, yes, that we Prabhupada nicely presented, Agama Sarva Kamuva Moksha Kama Udhari Tyurena Bhakti Yogena Jayate Purusham Param. That is when Sukadeva Goswami in a very conclusive manner said, no point to address or approach to different levels of personalities for specific desires. The best is to approach to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because not just He will fulfill all your desires, but He will give you more. And what else is more? In this case, Krishna Himself is explaining that He's the shepherd of His lotus feet. Because the vision of Krishna is a little is beyond our perception. He has the vision of the big picture, and He knows clearly what is needed for us. But you know, in a conditional state, we are still bewildered, trying to find ways how to satisfy our desires. Many of us, we experience that tendency, and also the results of doing it, trying to satisfy our desires in an independent manner, or in a successful way, and we experience disappointments, insatisfaction. But it's natural for us to look for that the fulfillment of our desires. So the secret is here, that because we can stop desiring, so we need to find the effective way to do it for the fulfilling of our desires. So that is approaching to Krishna. But the question here, maybe, perhaps, like me, you ask yourself, actually, is Krishna fulfilling our desires? Because here it says that Krishna will fulfill all the desires. But at the same time, Krishna is saying, but I will do it in a way that you won't desire the same thing again. What that means? Did you question yourself about it? How Krishna does it in a way that He will fulfill our desires, but we won't ask it again? According to our nature, according to our tendency, Krishna will do it, but knowing that what actually is better for us, something that will help us to admit our consciousness in a way that we can realize, okay, this is not enough for me, this is not what actually what I'm looking for. And beautifully here is the example of our that we studied previous canto, Dhruva Maharaj, by material approaches is Asambhagama. He wanted a lot of material benefits. He approached Krishna and he did austerities, tapasya. But once he got that opportunity, he didn't want it anymore because he got an experience of something else. What was that something else? Do you know?
Higher taste.
Higher taste, Parandristo. And what is that higher taste?
In the darshan
of the Lord. Yeah. That is it. That is the awakening of our senses. No? In the case of Dhruva Maharaj, all his senses, his mind was accelerated to a higher level, because to have the darshan of the Lord, you need to have a proper senses to appreciate it. With our material senses, it's hard, it's difficult. Sometimes probably, you notice when we even take darshan of the Lord, sometimes we are not able to perceive the transcendental aspect of the Lord. Yeah, we are limited. But we have, the possibility to do so. So what can help us to prepare what will help us to ability over a sense of perception, in order that we will be able to see the compassion of the Lord, and it as a transcendental of the lotus feet of the Lord with that conviction, because we appreciate that. What can help us to develop that ability? It's depending on ourself, our interior, or something else that is there. It's needed for us to reach that level, that ability of perception.
Our interior also?
Your interior and something else. What else? It's mercy. And that mercy is presented in many ways. And in Bhagavatam, here specifically, the glories of this chapter, the Bharata Varsha, is because we have the opportunity. Why Bharata Varsha in this case is special? It's because there is the opportunity to associate with saintly persons, devotees, and that is the mercy of the Lord. Because it's yes, over interior. But we need something, the association of pure devotees, guru from inside, Krishna, Chaitya Guru, and from outside, that means with spiritual master, saintly devotees. It is the way how we receive the mercy, and especially in this case, we can take shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. Through the association of Vaishnavas, devotees, and of course engaged through the association of devotees, we will be able to channel those tails, that tendency of those desires that we have, in a proper manner, dovetailing. And that way, what is the way to dovetail our desires, our tendencies, under the guidance of devotees? What is that way? Do we know? Every pure devotee, advanced devotees will tell us the nature of the process, how we can dovetail our tendencies.
Yukta Vinayaka.
Yes, it's one aspect. Very simple thing that we do every day, or we try to do every day. Pardon me?
Think of Krishna,
yes, it's true. What else? But it has a very big name.
Sadhana.
Yeah, sadhana. Yeah, it's included. A little bit more inclusive. Devotion and service. Engaging devotion and service. That is a way how the advanced devotees and Krishna in your heart will reveal us how we can don't take that tendency that we have, be engaged in devotional service. And that is the guarantee that will give us the opportunity to not just satisfy or fulfill our desires, but afflicting the quality of our desires. Eventually, as Prabhupada mentioned, developing the paramitistva. That means that we will have higher tests. And he said, when I was preparing, as I said, it was, reading a little Chaitanya Charitamrita, also it's mentioned how Jiva Goswami established the natural tendency of the living entity to search for happiness, because it's part of our identity. That is the, for example, he said that as a living entity, as a human being, and everybody, even animals, the tendency of trying to be satisfied at the level of animal survival. But human beings, we are searching for happiness. So our desires are oriented on that, searching for happiness. But the experience is insatisfaction because it's not properly dovetailed. And he said that we can, Jiva Goswami explained or defined happiness as the natural propensity of the living entity, based in knowledge, to engage or searching for the happiness of the Lord. So that is the only way how the living entity can be happy. We are searching to, again, our desires are oriented basically in getting or aiming for happiness. So, but if we understand who we are as a part and parcel of Krishna, naturally, as a consequence of that understanding, we will also act based on that tendency, in that nature, in that constitutional position, and searching for the what is the function of that part and partial of part and parcel of the Lord, the living entity as a limbs, as a part of the Lord. We will work aiming to satisfy the whole self, the whole self. That means the Supreme Personality of God, because that is our function. So in that way, if we understand that function, to be happy is just to look for the satisfaction of the Lord, naturally the happiness in our heart will be expressed. And in that way, our interaction with the others, with the living entities as well. So that's quite, personally, I found quite important. We hear many times about this point. We are part and parcel of the Lord. It's like a watering the roots of all the leaves of the tree would be happy, the branches. The same is an example. But we need also to acknowledge that that natural propensity of searching for happiness, it shouldn't be suppressed, but it just be dovetailed searching for the happiness of Krishna. Is that the way how Jiva Goswami described in Santarva about the real happiness, or the way to be the only option of real happiness that the living entity can experience, that also gives satisfaction. And but one of the points that quite interesting here is, for example, is that Krishna, he understands the desires of the living entities and he tries to satisfy them because he is the source of everything and he is overall wisher. He always wants us to be happy. So, but he also understands that the nature of our desires not always are the ideal ones or favorable to ourselves. So in that sense, Krishna is trying to help us a little bit more. And he said that if we really understand who reached the point to the understanding that my desires are not helping me, I'm looking for things that are not giving me satisfaction, on contrary, they are giving me a suffering, because if we desire for some material achievements or objects, that has a consequence as well. And not always those consequences are favorable, with creating suffering. So there is a difference between pain and suffering that we experience. It's something that we also need to understand. But Krishna said here, for example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as I said, I personally found quite interesting and inspiring, understanding the nature of the Lord, when we realize that my desires, or the nature of my desires in my conditional state, is not helping me, I'm just suffering, but I need to surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, here in the chapter 22nd, the Maya Lila, text 34, Krishna says, "It is my vow that if one only once seriously surrender unto me, saying, 'My dear Lord, from this I am yours, from this day I am yours,' and pray for and praise to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on." If we just have that attitude once, he said, once, just take that seriously, sincerely surrender to the Lord. Even we are not fully, we don't have that ability, but if we just say to the Lord sincerely, "Oh my Lord, I'm surrendering to you, I'm yours. Give me the courage to overcome my challenges, my limitations." Only once. So Krishna will reciprocate. He will encourage us. He will, and he said here, that person will always remain safe from that time on. So that, do you think it's like that is encouraging for you? To me it was, when I was reading, it's like, wow, just once. Even that I have not the quality or the ability to do it, but if I approach sincerely to the Lord, he will help. And then after this, in the text 8, in the same chapter, is when Krishna said, "Oh, the desires, the nature of desires of my living entities, those souls, the spiritual souls, it's not so good. Why I have to give them or satisfy those desires? It's like they are asking for poison. We share of the living entity and their father. How can I give them poison or dirty things? I'll try to fulfill their desires in a different way," he said, Krishna. "In a way that they will not want any more other material dirty things, but they will receive nectar." So Krishna himself is forcingly giving us the opportunity to take shelter at his lotus feet, even that we don't want. But Krishna is forcingly, lovingly, it's not, that force is not violent, it's with lovingly, he is giving the opportunity, he is giving us the opportunity to take shelter at his lotus feet, as a result of being engaged in devotional service. In the beginning, we are not, the most of us, perhaps some advanced devotees, definitely, but some of us, we approach to Krishna with material desires because we are suffering or inquiring for different things, curious or just looking for wisdom. But actually, it's not like I just wanted to surrender my to you, my Lord, and offer devotion and say, it's very few that do that. But even that our material desires in being are not pure enough, eventually, because the mercy of the Lord, through the association of devotees, the quality of our desires will change. Our state of consciousness will change. And we are encouraged through the association of devotees to be engaged in devotional service through this process of bhakti yoga. It is described that it's the most effective yoga process for the uplifting of consciousness. It said that we have four different stages of consciousness of mind. Do you have an idea what are those four stages of consciousness? In the beginning, it's like a. It said that yoga is a process where pasu, goal, become, eventually become pasupati. That means pasu is the living entity with a mind that is more fixed in the gross level of enjoyment, material desires, I like. Yeah, the state of consciousness is, for example, in the initial level is manas. Well, according to science, the mind is in the brain, but through the yoga system, the mind is referring more to the state of consciousness. So the basic level is the manas, when we act based on the nature of our acts and desires and thoughts. It's based on I like, I don't like, I feel satisfied in this way. It's more in that level that is manas. Then become a little bit more like the hakara level, where I'm the doer, this is mine, and this is me and who I am, my possessions. That's a little bit more, that's a higher level. And the third level is Buddhi level, where it's more our acts, desires, and thoughts are based on what is the right thing to do. And the higher level is the Chitta level, the level of consciousness, where it's described here that Parendriswa that Prabhu mentioned, when it's not anymore based on our self-centered position, it's based on Krishna, our real identity, part and partial of Krishna, and Krishna's happiness as our happiness. And that is the motive for our thoughts, acts, desires. So that is the Chitta level. That is the process of Bhakti Yoga or the Yoga process. It's aiming coming from Pasu Manas to Pasupati to Chitta level. Yeah, so Bhakti Yoga process is or aiming to that. And Bhakti Yoga is said that it's effective in that way, but it depends mainly and the quality of association, Vaishnava association that we have. The nature of our consciousness is compared to the diamond. It's like a crystal, a diamond, that has the potency to reflect, because absorb the nature of the environment. So if we are associated in a favorable environment, so we will reflect that. So our consciousness will reflect that. So it's important for us to take responsibility in what is favorable for us, and in that way contribute to our consciousness. So if we create a favorable environment with, for example, appropriate association, the quality of activities or things that are creating a favorable mood for our emotional setting, we will be able to project that to others as well. So that is an important principle. And for that is that, for example, the process of bhakti, according to our Sankara, especially Srila Srila Prabhupada emphasized, there are yamas and niyamas, some principles that we need to follow. And for example, Prabhupada said, Bhakti Yoga, for even Prabhupada mentioned that if you just follow four principles and ten Hare Krishna 16 rounds, I promise, I guarantee you that you will go up to Godhead. Yeah, if you just focus yourself in doing that. But it has a purpose. For example, the four chanting the holy name of the Lord, the most effective process for this age, and it's the way how it's described in this part of the benefit in the Bharata Bhasha. Because the association of devotees that is described in this part of the chapter gives us the opportunity to engage in the effective process, and the effective process for this age is chanting the holy name of the Lord. But for chanting the holy name of the Lord in an effective and appropriate way, we need to create a suitable environment. And for that, for example, Prabhupada mentioned about the four relative principles. But the four relative principles, it's an action that it's an external way to express the four main pillars of the spirituality. And do you know what are those four main pillars that are supporting our spiritual practice?
Mercy, tolerance.
Yes, that's right. It is, yeah, mercy. For example, what the four regulative principles are supporting each one of the specific principle of spirituality. For example, we don't eat meat because we are aiming to cultivate mercy, non-violence. Yes, and then we it's truthfulness. No, sorry, cleanliness, because we are aiming to cultivate purity. Then what other religious principle? Gambling. That is because we are aiming to cultivate truth, and no intoxication, because we are aiming to cultivate austerity, discipline, tapa. Yes. So those it's quite important for us to understand these points, because if we oriented our activities based on what we are looking for, because it's important to know what is the aim of or the purpose of our life, especially practicing Krishna consciousness. I was listening to a lecture where it helped me to understand a bit more how we can cultivate those principles, spiritual principles, in our life, daily life, applying to different aspects of our interactions, services, that will help us to be successful in our process, in our practice. For example, the importance of non-violence. It's not just a cultivate non-violence of mercy because I'm not eating meat. This is one way. But also, for example, that can be applied in a way how I deal with others. Especially, okay, I don't kill animals, I don't eat meat, I don't kill animals, but how we interact with others, other people, devotees, how we apply the mercy in our loving exchanges with devotees and to ourselves. It seems that it's quite important to understand, for example, if we are not violent with ourselves, if we are cultivating kindness to ourselves, naturally we will cultivate kindness to our living entities as well. What to say with devotees, that is quite necessary in our interaction and practice in our devotional service. Without devotees' association, without a loving exchanges among devotees, we won't be able to progress in our spiritual practice, we can try to endeavor for many lifetimes, many years, and when we won't be successful if we are not dealing lovingly, respectfully, with mercy among devotees. Okay, we are doing with non-animals, but with animals, we don't kill them. But what to say with human beings, what to say with devotees? Mercy should be applied to them there and to ourselves as well. Another point is about purity. Purity is quite important. How we describe purity can you help me to define what we refer to?
Doing activities in the mode of goodness.
Doing activities in the mode of goodness? Yeah, what that means, mode of goodness?
It's just eating the foods in the mode of goodness, the different qualities mentioned in Bhagavad Gita about the mode of goodness.
As I said, I was listening in a lecture when he said that purity, for example, can be understood as a principle to help us to discriminate what is favorable, what is helping us, and what is not helping us according to our real nature. So for that reason, it's very important to understand who we are. In the sense that we are a spiritual soul, part and parcel of Krishna, we are here in this. And if we look for things that are favorable, helping us to our true nature, that will have that principle, that facility, ability to discriminate, that is favorable, that is purity. But to be loyal to our true nature. And we will always aim for what is our true nature means towards Krishna, because we are not existing independent from Krishna. If we are part and parcel of Krishna, if we really focus in that understanding, so we will always aim to connect with Krishna. In that ability to discriminate, what will help me to connect with Krishna according to my true nature is purity. That's a new dimension for me. I was also impressed in a way, oh, Krishna, quite interesting way. And it makes sense in the sense that it's always connected to Krishna understanding my real identity. Because we have the tendency to create stories about ourselves. For example, we create stories based on who we understanding who we are, like the hankara aspect, false understanding, designations based in our social upbringing, the influence of society, that creates suffering to ourselves because it's not our true nature. Doesn't mean we have to avoid that, but we need to discriminate. What is that aspect, that history created by our mind and who we are? We need to deal with that because it's part of having the body, physical body, because it's part of that something that we need to learn to deal with as a tool. But if we differentiate that aspect from who we are ourselves, really just separate that, that will help us to even avoid to experience suffering that is based in those aspects of designations of the body that the mind creates. In the beginning, I was mentioning that there is a difference between pain and suffering. It said that pain is part of our life experience, part of this material world, that we cannot avoid. Because this material world is created with those Abhivautika Klesha, Abhidharmika Klesha, and the Atmika Klesha, yes? it's something that we need to understand that it will be there always. As the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, look, Krishna instructions to Arjuna, he said, you have to maintain equipoise and those changes, because it's part of the life experience. But suffering is how the mind interprets the pain. So if we understand that difference, so we will be able to deal with that suffering that the mind creates. So understanding that that's something different from myself, so it's quite important for him as well. And another principle about we were talking about purity, about truthfulness, about discipline, for example. He said that discipline is on top of austerity that we are trying to cultivate by, for example, non-intoxication in this case. But it's also, beyond that, it's described that the capacity to focus on our mind and our senses in our activities. For example, when we say sankirtan yajna, tapa, austerity, the success of our practice is when we are able to focus our mind, our senses in the process of chanting, that creates tejas, that creates power. So if we understand that the nature, the principle, that importance, the importance of these principles on our daily activities, and we endeavor to do it in a more committed way, we will achieve the success. Understanding these principles help us. So that's one of the points that I wanted to mention today in class, because I consider the importance of understanding this point to change the quality of our desires. How this works, because it said that Krishna has the power to transform the Sakama Bhakta to Akama Bhakta. So that transformational process takes place by being engaged in devotional service, and that is that engagement in devotional service is successful only because we have the guidance of devotees, spiritual master, Krishna in the heart, and our sincere endeavor in being engaged in this process. So that's the way how I was trying to make this point. So I hope it's helpful. If you have any comment and questions, please, I'd be happy to hear any comment, questions. I think we have time. No, everything is clear.
Mataji, in Bhagavad Gita 17th chapter, there is a description of austerity of the mind. So what are some of the symptoms of mind austerity, austerity of the speech? My question is, we have to accept things that are favorable for us and reject things that are not favorable for us. And to control the different urges as well. So, what should be addressed and what should not be addressed? Like chanting automatically fixes some problems, like austerity of the mind. In some sense, we are already doing because the main aim is devotional service. That will automatically fulfill different things. So then, what are the things that you think that we should, we have to actually work on separately? Is there anything that means separately we can be worked on, like issues and things, or chanting will resolve everything?
Okay, your question is mainly, let's see if I understood the question. If I chant only that, if I chant the holy name of the Lord, that will solve all my problems, and naturally I will be pure devotee, my interaction with the God, I won't have any more problems, and with myself, others, is that the idea? Or I have to do something else?
I have to address that separately.
Okay. Well, the way how What I understand is that it's not easy to chant the holy name in a proper way, the overnight. It's a process. Because as it describes Sudanam, the pure chanting of the holy name of the Lord requires a proper state of consciousness. The discipline of the mind focuses only in that way. If we are able to chant the holy name in that state of mind, definitely nothing else is needed. But to reach that level of chanting, we need some aids to help us to reach that state of consciousness, that ability, because otherwise our baggage from previous life, of this lifetime, our conditionings, our bad qualities and material desires will hinder us to chant the holy name of the Lord properly. So in that way, for example, yes, we need to address some things to facilitate ideally chanting the holy name of the Lord. And of course, be engaged in devotional service in a pure way. So for that, for example, how to address those favorable things or non-favorable things, it's under the guidance of devotees what is appropriate for us according to our circumstance. And what works for us is something very personalized, because each one of us has different needs, different level of conditioning. So it's important of having guidance for that and then to see what works on you. That's called constant evaluation, constant assessment, how I'm doing. And one of the things that I personally found important is that we need to take charge or responsibility of the quality of our practice. If we are more mindful about how I'm practicing the process, if we analyze ourselves constantly, what's happening with me, and sincerely, Krishna will give us also the ability for that. But it's very important to take responsibility in how I'm practicing the process. Then in that way, we will be more proactive to overcome those hindrances that are not facilitating the idea of chanting, the idea of the performance of devotional service. That is my understanding. Did that answer your question, Mataji? Okay, any other question? From? No? Okay. Thank you so much. Congratulations, Srinivasan Ki.
Jai.
Srila Prabhupada Ki.